This is Alex Mraz. I play Paul in the Twilight Saga New Moon, and you are listening to Talk Sci-Fi.
Hi, this is Eugenia Stapira.
And this is Jerry Donaldson.
And you're listening to Talk Sci-Fi.
So welcome back to our listeners. Hopefully we've got lots. This is our second episode.
We'll definitely have lots, Jerry, because they'll be very interested in hearing our first one, and we'll be on their seats listening to our second one.
Okay, well, in this episode, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones.
Now, didn't that hit the world in a big way?
And it still has. I mean, it's still very much, I don't think it hit the world. Like, there is a certain age group, I think, in particular, that really haven't got into.
That's true.
And enjoyed that. And really got people into listening to and talking about history of that kind of time, in medieval times anyway, in my experience with people of that 20s age group.
Well, I was just looking at when Game of Thrones season 4 came out, the first episode was the most pirated download in history.
It's the most pirated show in Australia when Game of Thrones came out in terms of it.
So people,
we're not promoting pirating.
No, we're not promoting that. But we're just saying that that's how much of an influence that show has had on people, that they couldn't wait for it to even be shown in proper circumstances, especially in Australia, because we wouldn't have seen it until later on Foxtel.
And if you didn't have Foxtel, you wouldn't have seen it.
No, you would have had to wait till the DVDs or Blu-rays came out.
Unless you have other avenues these days, which
digital download,
and all those kind of things, or buy the episode and that kind of stuff. But it was the most downloaded in the world, I think, and it really caught on. It's full of complex characters. It's full of really young characters to really old characters.
And so many characters.
I mean, and strange and weird characters.
It's a very violent show. It's not
both sexually and physically. It doesn't hold back.
No, not at all. And I think that's what has surprised a lot of people too when they're watching it. And I know people, friends of mine who are watching it saying, oh, you know, I really like watching it until they did that. And it's like, oh, cringe. But then they're back the next week to watch it again.
And it is very brutal. And I think that's a good thing in some ways. And I don't mean that. It's not trying to whitewash history. These are what we as humans did to each other.
Mm.
Very much we treated each other in such despicable ways.
We did, even though this is set in a fantasyful world as such.
It's based on real kind of normal history of the human race. It's why we lived this long, isn't it?
It is the way that we treated each other in those days, that's for sure.
And the things that they did and do are actual things that happened to people. People got skinned, people got killed, they got things chopped off, they got heads done, they got
things boiled over the top of them, all that sort of horrible stuff. But you can't disregard the fact that it is excellent storytelling. So George R. R. Martin has developed this incredible world that people have really taken on and, you know, sucked up like it's the adult version of Harry Potter in a way. In the case of, you know.
It does have dragons in it.
But I'm saying, like, Harry Potter took the world by surprise and a younger generation picked it up and carried with it.
I actually wonder if it, don't forget, Harry Potter has been out for a long time.
Well, it has.
Whether it is the same people.
It very much could be.
Who have travelled on to a much more mature fantasy world as opposed to the idealistic fantasy world, although death happened in that one. Harry Potter.
By the end, it became a Game of Thrones.
But George R. R. Martin very much is a stronger version of the last movie or the last book in terms of that. So I wonder if it's the same kids that have carried on.
Very well could have been, that's for sure. The other thing is, now that the actual stories that he has written has been finished in the TV series, it'd be interesting to see what happens next.
Well, he might write some more. I mean, I think I remember reading somewhere online, you know, as you do when you're in a geek, you sort of have technology in front of you and you're interested in things, that he was considering writing more.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose it takes sometimes up to 5 years to write a book, but only a year to make a movie. You know what I mean?
That's
so
true.
It does catch up with itself along the way. The problem, I think, sometimes when they're trying to reinvent things after they've naturally died, mm-hmm. as in his books have, you know, come to some sort of conclusion along the way, is that they can change the whole world.
Yes, the whole premise of it.
And it doesn't, it's not the same story.
And we've seen that in a few other series that's happened where they've been based on books and then they suddenly sort of trail away from the books. And sometimes I think you lose the guts of what the actual series is about. And
why it made it.
And why it made it popular in the first place. And then it becomes sort of this watered down, well, not always, but it takes a different direction to what it originally had. The production of this show, though, is amazing.
Of course it's made my hometown.
Got parts of it.
Parts of it. Most of it. Because it's made, it's actually made in Belfast. That's where I come from. And most of them talk like us over here. And we've even met some of the actors that talk with this accent along the way. And there's quite a few Irish actors that are actually in the show.
Oh, that's right.
Go through. It's made in the Titanic warehouse where they actually built the Titanic ship in Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's made popular. The community of Belfast is a production centre, so it's a good thing along the way. So some of the beautiful countryside is, in fact, Ireland, as well as Scotland.
And Portugal, I think.
Portugal and lots of other places along the way.
If you get a chance, look up the website and have a look at the actual costumes, because that's something, because Game of Thrones, when it's viewed, is quite dark, as not dark as in emotionally, but dark as in picture.
Well, one of the big things it's also done is not only the costuming, but the armoury.
Oh, yes.
My son has two of the swords right in the room that he's left behind because he doesn't live in Australia anymore. And they're sitting in there. And one of them is like 5 foot tall. They're really
heavy
duty,
real swords.
And lots of people, well, they don't have a sharp edge, thank God, but you could probably inflict a bit of damage with them all. But they're beautiful pieces of real. Some of them, well, one was a limited edition, 200 or something.
Until I saw these pictures, I had not realized the amazing amount of work that's in the costumes, which we don't always see on the television.
And what's really also I like about Game of Thrones is you don't have to be beautiful.
True.
To be in it. And you don't have to be beautiful to be enjoyed in terms of the characters. The characters are not your typical, dare I say, American-style beautiful people all together and everybody look fantastic. I mean, we have Peter Dinklage in it. And he's fantastic.
Brilliant. So, an Emmy just recently for it.
I mean, and I'm not saying that he's not good looking. What I'm saying is he's an
actor. He's not your typical handsome man.
It's not your typical leading man kind of character. And he does a brilliant job. It's really nice to see people with ability actually being employed for their ability to really be a good actor.
Well, there's a 6 foot woman Goliath in it.
Well, there's also that little gentleman that we met.
Hodor,
that only says Hodor. And like he's 6 foot 15 or something, wasn't he? I mean, I'm not that tall. And standing beside him and looking up was a long way.
Jerry looked like a cockroach. Like she was no, so small.
Wasn't quite a cockroach. Well, maybe a small deer or something, but not quite a cockroach.
Well, it looked like you were going to be swallowed up by him.
Because he's as big as he is.
Like I didn't even reach his armpit, so, you know, and I'm taller than you are.
Yeah, you are taller than, a fair amount taller than me too. So it's quite interesting. But we could wax on about this for a long time, and we're not going to do that because we have an interview.
We do.
And that interview is with one of the leading characters of Game of Thrones, and that's Alfie Allen.
Now, that surname may be familiar to people if you listen to music because he is the brother of Lily Allen.
And she sang that song about him.
Yes.
And we did ask him about that.
We did.
And I think he even sends it in here.
Welcome to Australia.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is this your first time here?
No, I went to Melbourne and Brisbane when I was younger. My dad did a little film. I did a TV program out in Brisbane, so I went with him out there.
Because you're from a big entertainment background, aren't
you? Yeah, well, my sister's a pop star. My mum is a film producer. My uncle's a film director. And my dad is an actor, comedian, documentary filmmaker,
activist.
Musician, activist, rebel. Yeah, he's just, he's a great man, my dad. I love him to bits. But yeah, we're all in the family.
And
we're all in the industry.
Yeah. And is it only recently that you decided to be an actor, or have you been doing the long slog?
No,
Game
I've
of
always,
Thrones I'm, is such a big...
I've always wanted to be an actor since I was very young, about I mean, I wanted to be a race car driver when I was a kid.
Fireman.
Exactly.
And, Superman.
And then, yeah, as soon as I sort of got into kind of maybe secondary school is when I really started thinking about acting seriously, you know, and started doing drama classes and then studied it at GCSE level and studied it at A level. Had a chance to go to RADA, but I didn't, and just went into acting and just did it professionally rather than went to drama school for 2 or 3 years.
So you've become an overnight sensation over a three-year period, something
exactly.
like that?
I've been an up-and-comer for about 6 years.
But to get Game of Thrones, I mean, one...
Ooh, I really heard the Belfast coming through then.
Did you? I can really talk Belfast if you want me to.
I can talk Belfast too.
They'll be able to understand what we're saying.
Yeah, I know, yeah, exactly.
Since we've mentioned Belfast, I mean, Belfast is an unusual place to make a television show, really. There's not much of an industry there.
Well, that's the reason why they do it there is I think it's very cheap for them to make it there. It's they get big tax breaks because they employ locals. And also, the scenery there is amazing.
It is beautiful.
It's absolutely, it could be, you know, if it had... I mean, New Zealand has got bad weather, but it's like New Zealand, you know, like the coastline is amazing. It's absolutely incredible. It's funny, you know, some of the shots in Game of Thrones are shot in the woods. It looks all beautiful and fantastic. It was like, wow, where is that? And we're filming right beside the A40 or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just off the motorway. And so you can hear the cars going past. It's just like, it's funny, but that's why they're so, that's why HBO are just dons of what they do, because they just know how to do stuff. And
you get to go to Iceland as well, do you?
No, I don't. That's all Kit. Kit gets to go to Iceland and all the sort of Night's Watch boys do, but I stay in Belfast the whole time, so I've got to know the restaurants and bars very well.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. Good crack, as they say.
Yeah, good crack. Hey, good crack. I like the Spaniard is really nice, and I went to the Europa bar, I drank in quite a bit, and then the Crown opposite the Europa. I really like that.
The most blown up hotel in the whole of the world.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's crazy, I know.
Game of Thrones is a very complex, epic piece of television. I mean, the amount of extra cast that you have is amazing coming in.
I mean, it's, you know, it's and the main cast is like 60 strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane. So it's crazy. It's just, that's one of the things that I most look forward to when, you know, if I do get to be in the third series, I mean, even if I'm not, I'm interested to see who they will cast, you know, because I've got my own idea, you know, of who I think would be good. Like, I think, like, do you know the actor John Sim?
Yes.
I think John Sim would be a good, have you read the books?
Doctor Who, yes, I've read some of the books.
The Game of Thrones, I think he'd be a good Mance Rayder. Do you know what I mean? So I you know, but I'm just interested to see who they cast, and now, I'm a fan like that.
In the second season, you have a big role, and lots of terrible things happen to you.
Yeah.
You get flayed.
In the second season.
Yes.
No. I don't get flayed. I get nothing happens to me in the second season like that. That all happens if it's gonna happen.
In the third.
It would probably happen in the third, but I, like I said, I don't know. Like it's hard for me. Like, but I just got. Bow down to their wishes and just wait until the scripts come, and then if they don't, you know what I mean? It's like whatever.
So what actually energizes you about the show? What do you really feel as an actor is hitting you at the right spot?
What do you mean?
Well, and is there something that you're really passionate about that you're able to actually pursue in this particular role?
So there's no snowboarding in it, is
no, there's no snowboarding.
No.
What gives you satisfaction? That might be a bit
in
the
role.
Character. As far as your character is.
That he's just, you know, he's one of the more human characters on the show, I think. He's, he messes up a lot. And he's, deep down, I think he's a kind of a likable guy, but he just messes things up the whole time, you know what I mean?
My son's favourite character.
Oh, good.
And how true to life is your sister's little pop song about you?
It was definitely true at one point, but not anymore. I'm not sitting in my room doing nothing.
Playing games all day.
No.
So what do you do to give yourself some leisure time?
Like I said, I snowboard, I like cooking a lot, I like walking my dog, I like watching football, playing sports, and I I'm trying to start writing, but, you know, whatever.
So do you want to write novels or write, telemovies?
I don't even
or...
know what I want to write, do you know what I mean? I just
do you have this passion inside you to do that? Do
well, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm smart enough to do it, but it's...
You did your A-levels. That's pretty cool.
I didn't. I only got one.
This one's better than none.
Yeah, exactly. It was media, the easiest one. What was the question again? Really sorry.
Writing passion.
Oh, yeah, writing passion, yeah. I don't even know. I just think my uncle told me years ago, he's like, if you're going to write something, make sure it's about something that you know and you are passionate about, not just like, I want to write a gangster flick or something. Do you know what I mean? So... I've still yet to find like what would really suit me, so I'm just waiting.
So your future actor, future producer, future director, future what?
No, man, I never really tend to sort of think of the future or the past. I just live in the present. But I could definitely see myself, you know, not just being an actor. Put it that way.
It's a long time between parts, sometimes, isn't it?
Being a long an actor. Time between
parts.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But yeah, it's security, you know. I've had the first two seasons, like,
fantastic,
and it's made me able to buy a house, and so now I'm just sort of putting the feelers out there and
so
seeing what else is
coming.
So you're
becoming responsible now, aren't you?
Yeah.
All the way from that little boy in the game, boy in the room.
Definitely. I think I've grown up quite a bit.
Thank you very much. I think that comes to a natural end in there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yes, thank you.
It's been lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
And you're
thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talk Sci-Fi with Jerry Donaldson and Eugenie Stapira. If you'd like to catch us in our fuller episodes on our podcast, Women Talk Sci-Fi, you can do so at www.womentalksci-fi.com. That's www.womentalksci-fi, all one word, .com. Thank you for listening. Title music performed by Boxcat Games called Breaking In, available at the freemusicarchive.org. Under Creative Commons license.